What a powerful reminder. A reminder that we need faith and we need to trust what God has to tell us. I think we are living in a time where we need to have confidence in God. We need to trust God. And I think the last song is a reminder that each and every one of us is challenged to have that kind of faith, a faith that will totally have confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear church, wherever we are today, we want to look at this particular theme called Life Happens in the Waiting. Life happens in the waiting. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church in Ephesus in chapter 5. He talks to them in prison. He's going through a challenging moment in his life, but then he challenges the Christians there and he wants them to continue to live a life worthy of the call that God has given to them. He's just reminding them of their call, of the call that God has given to them. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us as we look at the word that was read to us and draw strength from God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time that you have given to us. We pray, God, that we will trust what you say. And help us, O Lord, to trust your word and trust you, Lord, in each and every moment of our life, Father. Help us, O Lord, to look at your word. Help us, O Lord, to hear the voice of your Spirit. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. If I may ask you a question, I want you to take a moment to think. What are you waiting for? If I may ask again, what are you waiting for? If you realize, many of us immediately will respond by saying, you know, I'm just waiting for the turbulent time to be over. I want all this to be over. I want life to be normal. Some of us will say, you know, yes, I want the economic climate to change. I'm waiting for a better tomorrow. If you realize, all of us are waiting. We are waiting for things to happen in our life. We are waiting for a good day. We are waiting for a good event in our life. When kids are young, they are just waiting to go to school. When they're at school, they are waiting to graduate and to go into the working world. In the working world, they want to climb up the career ladder. So they are waiting for opportunities. And as they are working, as they are building up their career, they are waiting to settle down in life. If you realize, you know, people are waiting. Even as parents, we are waiting. We want to see our kids grow physically, mentally, economically, and also spiritually. When you look at scriptures very carefully, you know, life happens when we are waiting. When we are waiting, God is working, my friends. Moses waited. He waited before he led the people to the promised land. You know, Abraham waited for a son that God has promised. Joseph, a righteous man, you know, he was in the prison just waiting for God to deliver him. And David was waiting for almost 15 years before he became the ruler of the nation that God has promised. But throughout the time of waiting, if you realize, you know, God had been working in their lives. It was a time of test. It was a time that God was instructing them. It was a time that God was stretching their faith. And God was just getting them ready for something much more greater, something much more bigger. Dear friends, life happens when we are waiting. Because during the time of waiting, a lot of things comes up, right? We begin to realize who we are. We realize our true motives. We look at our characters. We know whether we can exercise patience. So waiting can change our character either to good or to a different direction altogether. If I may ask you the same question again, your answer would be, you know, I want our life back. The local media and also the foreign media have been carrying news about people just wanting to have a normal life. They want the routine to come back. They want life to be predictable. Waiting time helps us to adopt a new perspective. At times, you know, unexpected times or unexpected circumstances in life are meant to remind us what really matters in life and what is life all about. I came across a recent article by a futurist from the Silicon Valley. He wrote on a topic called, "When will life go back to normal?" And he answers, "Hopefully never." You know, this particular writer is saying that when we face crisis, there are three reactions that happen. Firstly, he says, there is reaction. We react. There is fear, there is anxiety, there is panic buying that happens in our life. Secondly, we go into a second stage, which is called the reset stage. We begin to reassess. We begin to ask questions. We begin to reevaluate what has happened, why all these things are happening in this world. And thirdly, he says, this third stage is called the reinvention. In other words, you know, the pandemic or challenging moments reveal to us the weaknesses, the strength. Today, many nations are realizing, you know, the strength of their nation and some of the gaps they have in the health coverage that's happening in the world today. You know, when I was just going through this article, I was just asking myself, you know, that we should, as Christians, apply the same reaction, reset, and reinvention, even in our lives, as we are waiting to continue to live a life that God has actually planned for us. Yes, there were times we were at fear, anxiety, there was a reaction, that's a normal reaction. We had fears about what's going to happen. There was a lot of anxieties, there was a lot of questions what was happening. And then we also moved into a second stage called the reset stage, right? We were looking at God's word, searching for answers. We were looking for words of assurance, words that would continue to comfort us and to assure that God is sovereign, God is in control of everything. And then we also will move into a stage called the reinvention. We begin to realize as we are waiting who we are. We begin to realize about our Christian walk, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, our love for our neighbor. You know, did this pandemic help us to show mercy and kindness as Jesus has mentioned, love your enemy as yourself? It begins to show our Christian walk and our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul is writing this particular letter that we just read today, you know, and he's just reminding them in chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, that these are the things that God expects in our life, that God is wanting to do much more greater and much more bigger thing. If you look at the book of Ephesians, you know, Paul writes, you know, he starts by looking at the foundation. In other words, he lays the foundation of who God is. He talks about the greatness of God, and then he moves on to speak about what God has done, that God has predestined us. He has given us grace. He has redeemed us. He has forgiven us. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And now he moves on. And he says, what God requires to those who believe, to those who are called the faithful, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at three important things that Paul is raising from this particular passage that was just read to us. I want to look at two verses here. Verse 16, you know, Paul says about redeem your time. In some versions, you will see the word redeem your time. In other versions, you will see, he's saying, making the most of every opportunity. You know, firstly, I see Paul is saying, every moment is important. Every moment that is given to us is important. So Paul talks about time, kairos. That's a Greek word. Right? He's not talking about minutes. He's not talking about seconds. The idea that Paul is talking about is that God has given us this time, this appointed time. This is the time that is given to us in the history of the world, that God has placed us at this time, at this place, and He's given us. And that's the way Paul is speaking to us. On the same note, he's also talking about the idea of urgency. This is something important. You know, the time that you're living is an important time. Opportune time, he's talking about. When you sit for an exam, you know, when the examiner announces by saying, you have 1 more hour, and you realize, you know, you have 3 more questions and you need more than 1.5 hours to write. And the examiner says, no, you have 1 hour. What's happening? That's the time given to you. Whether we like it or not, you know, we need to attempt and to finish the exam. And that's what Paul is trying to say. You know, this is the time that is given to you. This is the time allotted to you. So he says, you better go get moving. If not, you will miss the time that God has given to us. When you look at the words very carefully, you know, when you realize time is very limited, my friend. It is, time is, it's not a bottomless supply. When you go to a restaurant, you know, they serve coffee and they say it's bottomless. But time is limited. Time is limited and it's given to us. Job beautifully puts it in Job chapter 14, verse 5. He says, you know, he says, Lord, you have decided the length of our lives. He says, Lord, you have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live. And we are not given a minute longer. That's what, you know, Job says. He knew well that this is the time that God has given to him. Secondly, when you look at time, you know, time cannot be recovered. Time is something you and I will never get back, my friend. And the psalmist puts it beautifully in Psalm 39, 4 to 5. And reminds us, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. He says, remind me that my days are numbered. You know, and then he finishes by saying, Lord, my entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Time cannot be recovered, my friend. So we need to be very careful of the way, you know, God has given us the time and how we translate time today. Sometimes the tendency is to put off, right? In other words, people say, we can do it tomorrow. We will wait. We will wait. Thinking that we have a lot of time. But James chapter 4, verse 14, you know, James reminds us, he says, yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life, he says. For you are a mist that happens for a while and then vanishes. Dear friends, you know, as the Bible reminds us not to count on tomorrow, because tomorrow may not come for us. All we have is right now. God has given us this time. And so our time in this world is valuable and it is also limited. When I look at God's word, you know, I'm just reminded, you know, the time that God has given to us. And this time belongs to God. And Psalm 31:15 reminds about it. So every second, every minute, and every hour, every day, it's God's gift to us. And I need to live a life and to do what God wants me to do. You know, in this particular passage, he talks about every moment is important. Secondly, he moves on, right? When you look at it very carefully, he says, making the most of every opportunity. He says, redeem the time. Redeem. Very interesting word if you look at the Greek word. The word redeem means to buy up, buyback. It's a marketplace term. It's like a merchant that who goes, you know, into a market and who is diligently seeking to buy the best bargains in the marketplace. He doesn't want to meet any, doesn't want to miss any opportunities that is available. He just goes on, looks at it, makes use of the opportunities, and he purchases whatever he can. And that's what, you know, Paul is teaching us. Right? That this is an opportunity that God has given to us. During these times of our life, God has given us opportunities. The same term is also used in those days for buying back a slave. Right? And this is to make the slave free by a purchase. Very interestingly, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. He's known as our Redeemer. The same word comes, redeem, is used when we see Jesus as our Redeemer. He redeems us. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 5, you know, passage tells us, you know, when the set time has fully come, God sent his Son. God knew when, and he gave his Son for us. And the verse also continues, right, to redeem those under the law that we may receive adoption to sonship. You know, the word redeem, you know, sometimes I ask myself, why is Paul using the word redeem? He could have used the word utilize, right? Utilize and other words he could have used. But Paul says, whatever time that is given to us, you know, it will never come back. And so he says, use the opportunity. The way Paul writes, as if we are living in the last days, that each and every day is a last day for us. And so let's redeem the time. And the days are evil. Interestingly, the word redeem is in the present tense. So in other words, our lifestyle, right, each and every moment, we are making use, you know, we are using our lives to do whatever opportunities God has given to us, right, to find ways to show and to share God's love. And that's what, you know, Paul is teaching us here. You know, when I was looking at this particular verse, I was just reminded that the early Christians too also went through difficult times in their life. If you look at history, church history, very carefully, you know, they too, in the years 65 AD, you know, the church, the early Christians went through a difficult pandemic. In 251 AD, you know, they also had another most threatening pandemic that took place. And I was reading this article by this sociologist by the name of Rodney. And he writes the article called The Rise of Christianity. And he says, you know, the wonderful things about Christians on those days. He says, you know, the early church grew because the Christians were willing to lay down their lives. They're willing to be there just to comfort those who are dying, bringing solace to those affected by this deadly, contagious thing that was happening. And not only that, the Christian, you know, they flourished in their faith because they were able to endure hardships. They were much more stronger. By doing so, what was happening, you know, they won the approval of those who were living in the society. They saw their kindness. They saw the Christians as a caring community because the Christians took their faith seriously, my friend. In the year 1527, we hear about Martin Luther, the great reformer. You know, during the year 1527, the Black Death, a plague, was happening. One of the greatest things that happened that took a lot of lives, almost 50 million people died in the 14th century. So Martin Luther was in Wittenberg, and Wittenberg was also affected. He refused to flee the city. And he said, no, I'm not leaving. He says, and he spent his time there taking care of the people. And he wrote an article which says whether Christians should flee the plague. And he was saying, you know, that we should be showing the love of Christ,
the Lord Jesus Christ. Also coming across another beautiful story about John Bunyan in 1675. You know, he was arrested for preaching. Can you imagine? He was just arrested for preaching and he was serving in the prison. There was another occasion that he spent 12 years in prison. And during this 12 years in prison, you know, he was very optimistic. He started writing many books and many pamphlets. And John Bunyan quotes, and he says, "I've been away from my writing too long. Maybe this is not so much a prison as an office for which I can reach the world with Christ's message." They made use of the opportunity that was given to them. Today, my friends, I think God wants us to take every opportunity that is given to us to show His love, to share His love, to redeem people through the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, let me look at the last word, you know, Paul is writing, and he says, every will of God is important. Every will of God is important. He says, you know, we need to understand what the will of God is. I believe each and every one of us at one point of our life have asked this question, you know, what's God's will for my life? Verse 17, if you look at it, you know, he says, it is every right and duty of every Christian to know what is God's will. The way Paul writes it, he doesn't speak like a privilege. He says it is a command. We need to know what is God's will for our lives. And so Paul urges the readers to recognize God's will. You know, throughout Ephesians, you know, you realize he talks about God's will. In chapter 1, verse 1, it speaks about, in verse 5, is verse 9. You know, throughout the epistle, you see he talks about recognize the importance of God's will and doing the Lord's will. Jesus also in John chapter 4, verse 34, he says, my food, in other words, he says, this is my food, right? Is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. The will of God is not hidden, my friend, but it is revealed to us through the Word of God. As we engage ourselves in reading God's word, as we engage ourselves in meditating God's word, God speaks to us. He reveals His plans, His path to us, His desires to us. I think it's one of the important things we need to ask ourselves, right? Am I living a life according to God's will? Am I making a decision according to God's will? If I'm in a particular situation, will this be God's will according to God's word? I think we need to be asking questions of this nature. A great preacher by the name of George Truth said, to know the will of God is greatest knowledge. He says, to do the will of God is the greatest achievement. To know God's will is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest achievement. I think you and I have access to God's word as we are spending our time just waiting. Life happens when we are waiting, my friend. We can draw strength from God's word. We can see what God is speaking to us, where God is leading us, where God wants us to be, you know, doing for Him to extend God's love in this part of the world. Let me finish in a couple of verses. You know, how wonderful it would be if we can echo the words of Paul. Paul was able to look at his life and say, you know, I have fought the good fight. In 2 Timothy verse 4, verse 7, he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. You know, powerful words of Paul. And even the Lord Jesus Christ, he cried in victory at the cross. He said, it is finished. You know why? Because he has kept the promise and he has paid the penalty for our sins. And you have completed the redemptive work for you and me, my friend. Let me conclude by sharing a story with you today. It's about a daughter and a father. Her daughter complained about the hardship in life. She was just going on, just talking about the difficulties that she was just going through. Her father was just listening. He took her to the kitchen. He filled 3 pots of water. And then, you know, he made the water to boil. And in one pot, he took carrots and he placed carrots into the boiling water. The second one, he took eggs and he put it into the pot. The third pot, he took coffee beans and he just put it into the boiling water. It was boiling for a while. And then he let them sit and just was just waiting. After 20 minutes, you know, he turned off the burner and he fished out the carrots from the pot and he placed it on a bowl. Likewise, he took the eggs away and placed it on a bowl. And then he took the coffee beans. Some of them were just floating and he put it in a bowl. And he asked his daughter, "My child, what do you see?" The girl was smiling and said, "Dad, I see carrots, I see eggs, and I see coffee," she replied. The father said, "You know, look carefully, look again." And he said, "You know, they've all changed. Each of them has faced the same adversity, boiling water, real boiling water, but each of them acted differently. The carrots were strong and they went in strong and hard, but they came out softened and became weak. The eggs have been fragile. They've been just covered with a thin outer shell. But when they were sitting through the boiling water, it became hardened inside. The coffee beans were unique, however," he said, "you know, they were at the boiling water, but they changed the water." And he asked the daughter, "Which are you?" When adversity knocks on your door, he asks, "How do you respond? Are you a carrot? Are you an egg? Or are you a coffee bean?" Dear friends, the carrot was strong, but because of the adversity, it became weak. The egg was fragile. It went in, it became much more hardened. But the coffee was totally different. Right? It brought color to the water. It brought taste and it brought a beautiful aroma. Life happens while we're waiting. God uses these situations to build us up and to make us stronger, to make us much more tougher and to make us much more better than we currently are. So tough times, challenging times can either deepen our faith or dim our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Tough times can reveal our flaws. God uses tough times to reveal who we are. And tough times can also help us to see the world differently. The urgency of bringing the Word of God, the love of God, what do you like to see happening in your life, my friend? How are we using the time that God has given to us? I hope and pray that throughout this week, the Lord will continue to speak to us and speak to each and every one of us, that we will hear His voice and we will listen to His voice. May God continue to bless us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this word that You have given to us, O God. Father, we pray that You will help us to trust You as we sang, O God, and to know that You are in control of everything. Help us, O Lord, to grow much more stronger, much more deeper in our love towards you. We thank you that we are not alone in this journey, but you are with us, and we love you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.